Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
A journey as a church to move into commission at another level. And we are at a critical juncture in history in regards to how the church is revered, is looked at, how the church is respected in the American public, most importantly or more clearly in the public sector. To admit that you're a Christian today in public is almost like hate speech. The world has become so anti-Christ or anti-God or anti-church that if you go into certain arenas and say you're a Christian, they automatically assume that you are hateful, right? That you're an extremist. And this is, we're not even talking about in the Middle East, because in some places in the world, if you say you're a Christian in certain arenas, they'll take your head off. But even right here in America, right here in New York City, in some places you go, to admit that you're a Christian takes great courage. It takes great boldness because right now people are trying to keep you silent and they don't want you to voice your opinions about your faith. Not because necessarily you've done anything wrong, but because of the stigma being a Christian carries, unfortunately. And while we may not have had anything to do with that, there have been some people who have a lot to do with that, because I don't think it's necessarily just because people just don't like God or like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the desire of nations. And when you actually look in the Gospels, it was the world didn't really have a problem with Jesus. It was the religious people that had more of a problem with Jesus than sinners. You guys read the Gospels? Jesus was called a friend of sinners. And it was the religious leaders that had a bigger problem and a bigger issue with him. One of the reasons why was because Jesus spent more time with sinners than he did with his religious friends. And I think that one of the problems today with the church is the fact that we have become, as mentioned last week, I talked about how when we have decided to become the standard of righteousness in the world, and have forgotten that our first responsibility is to be the example of unconditional love to the world. That no one cares how much we know until they know how much we care. So we want to walk around and talk about how right we are because we believe in the Bible and we believe Jesus is coming back, and whoever doesn't believe in him is going to die and go to hell and all the stuff that we say. But nobody cares about any of that if they don't know that we care about their souls. Okay? So one of the reasons why the world looks at us as extreme and irrelevant is because we've put off this persona that we're better than everyone, and that we have this idea that we can condemn people who don't look like us, talk like us, dress like us, speak the Christian language like us. Come on. So I really believe that we're in a day and an hour where it's not so much the world that needs to change, but I believe it's the church that needs to change. A lot of you ain't gonna like me if you're religious, but I know what I'm talking about. The church needs a renovation. The church needs to change. The church actually needs to practice what it preaches and preaches what it practices. And if we preach love and grace and mercy, we gotta show it. Amen. And this is so important because you don't have to listen to any of this if you're comfortable just staying behind the four walls of your church. But if you're going to go into the seven major sectors of society, education, you can't pray all day in school, right? You got to learn how to bring the kingdom without bringing up God and bringing up Jesus. Can you do that? You got to be able to do business and not just have Jesus over everything and expect to reach the levels of success and fortune that you can achieve if you don't know how to carry kingdom economic skills without having to Christianize everything. All right? So one of the things that we're called to do is, as a church, we're not just here to bring revival, but we're here to bring reformation in society. And today we have three guests who are doing just that. and we're going to have a fireside chat, a conversation about it right now. So we're going to invite them to the stage, all right? We're going to invite them to the stage. So if you can, right now, let's all stand. And let's honor, they're going to introduce themselves, but I want you guys to give them a big H4G welcome. Thank you. You guys can have your seat. It's good to see Love Cities in the house. My brother is here. So he's here to join us. All right. So this is our first time doing something like this. So this is going to be really cool. Thanks, babe. This is my wife. Give a round of applause. Yes, we're going to grab them all mics. Thank you so much. All righty. Now, you guys know our services on our summer Sundays are shortened. And we have three different people that I'm sure within the time we're going to have to talk, they can all probably talk during that amount of time. So what I'm going to do is to start off, we're going to allow them to introduce themselves, who they are, what they do, their life's mission, and after that, I'm going to throw out some questions, all right? So let's start, ladies first.
Okay. Hi, my name is Jennifer Day. Hi, my name is Jennifer Daniel, and I like long walks on the beach. No, I'm kidding. I'm the founder of an organization called Princess Chambers. I feel like my life mission is to spread love. What else would you like to know about me? I went to college in Portia, and she's amazing, as you all know. And by day, I am a counselor, but I also have founded an organization that empowers young women. We started off just giving out prom dresses for girls in need, but we've evolved to a mentorship program and providing scholarships.
I'm Davis Northern. I'm a director, a producer, and I work in the film industry. And I have a production company, it's Northern Exposure Creative. And I had the opportunity to create an amazing project called The New Stereotype with this gentleman here. And it basically highlights black life through fashion, photography, and film. So it's an incredible viral campaign that's really amazing. I urge you all to check it out. It's just celebrating melanin. It's pretty incredible. And and through Markwell, that's how I met this lovely woman, Portia, here. And yeah, and that's pretty much me.
Hello everyone, I'm Markwell Turner-Gilchrist. I am a men's ready-to-wear buyer and commercial manager for a few department stores in the Middle East. We're opening 4 in total across 3 countries, Doha, Qatar, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. In addition, as Davis mentioned, I am the creative director and creator of a project called The New Stereotype. Essentially, what we do is we highlight and celebrate the many diverse layers of black life in America through fashion, photography, film, and it's a pleasure to be here, so I'm looking forward to this.
Awesome stuff, right? Awesome. Alrighty. So here's one of the things that I want to begin, because from what I understand, many of you guys are in the faith, right? Are you guys all believers or Christians?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, the world is becoming increasingly hostile towards those who carry the faith. In your own experiences, let's start with, for example, I'm starting with Markwell. Now, you're actually in the Middle East. From what I see in the news, the Middle East is very hostile towards the faith. What is that? How has that been as you've been over there to do what you do, which is fashion? Before I get there, how instrumental has your faith played as a role to help you get to where you are in your life?
Okay, it's a great question. I would say it's played a huge role, and that's mostly because much of my life and my career has come through taking leaps of faith. I have stayed out of the country before. When I was in graduate school, I lived in the south of France, and coming from a very small rural town in North Carolina and going to a country like France, you are exposed to a lot of things that you're not used to. So being able to kind of lend on that faith and believe that there's protection and there's always mercy there as I go through those trials is extremely important. And of course, again, everything I've done. So after I came back from the south of France, I moved to New York City without a job, without any money. I was sleeping on the couch, but I always believed, And then of course, as I stayed here for 2 years living in Harlem and also in Staten Island, this opportunity came, and it was another opportunity for me to take a leap of faith. And you know, everything that that's allowed me to move forward is because I was able to take a leap, because I was not afraid, because I was willing to take a risk, because I was uber confident knowing that I had protection along the way.
So you said you moved from North Carolina to New York and you didn't know anybody.
Well, social media makes the world much smaller, so I didn't know quite a few people. However, I would say the network needed to break into an industry like fashion, which is incredibly, incredibly saturated and extremely difficult to break into. I didn't have the connections there, so that was all faith. That was a lot of prayer, a lot of chance, and just trying to figure out things along the way.
David, so you got into film at around what age?
I've always been interested in film. So I always dated back to 5 years old when I went to the movie theater. I spent the whole summer, me and my father, we just pretty much went and saw every movie that came out that year. And from then on, it just became a love and affinity for an art form that I just desired to get into, yeah. At first, I wanted to be an actor, but then I realized, no, I kind of like have a certain level of control, so I kind of like to see the whole vision through, so that's when I realized directing was the best.
Wow, interesting. Mark. And you've been doing film now you found your passion at 5 years old. So yeah. You used to walk around with like a video camcorder and go around the house.
Yeah. I used to make movies with my action figures, actually. And I used to like create movies, like combine like Ninja Turtles and Batman together in one movie, and it was pretty epic. Had sequels and everything. So yeah.
Imagine what you're doing now with all the technology. When you were a kid, right? You had all the technology.
Exactly.
And so, from what I understand, your organization, you help specifically around prom season. You do something special, right?
Yes, that's correct. So how many people remember prom? For the ladies, let's talk about it. Hair, makeup, the dress, the nails, the shoes, the limo, the tickets, right? Prom is expensive. And one of the things that I've always had in me, I feel like, I went to a high school for community development. So you walked out Venture Banker Academy for community development. Love it. Yes, there's always one. But you walked out wanting to do more for your community, but the reality is that when you're a person of color and you grow up in a single parent home, the reality is you're gonna go for what makes the most money, right? Reality is. So I worked as an insurance broker right after college, but I always knew that I wanted to do something that gave back. So I went to St. John's University, but something that always stuck with me was share the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. St. Francis of Assisi. So that's a quote that I live by. And when I was simultaneously working as an insurance broker, I was actually in the middle of a Daniel fast. And I just felt that, I just hearing so many girls saying, I can't go to prom. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. So it literally was something that I just sent out in mass emails to my girls. I was like, y'all know y'all can't fit your dress. So donate it to me, but... Freshman 20 is real, y'all. Like, so, and it stays with you. So it was 2 years after I'm out of college, and I sent out this mass email, and I had friends in fashion, beauty, and I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And I was like, God, well, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to show up. So in a matter of 2 weeks, I collected 250 dresses. And that same week, it was literally a friend who, she found out what I was doing. She was like, oh, well, I can make you a flyer. Graphic designers do not do anything for free, right? So she offered to make a flyer. 2 days later, I had a venue, and the venue charged $150 per hour. They gave it to me for $15 per hour. So can you say God's in it, right? Like, I was like, okay. And then it was also simultaneous when I did have a gym membership. And I had they had a blackboard, so I just put prom dress drive. And this girl who worked at NBC, there was a show that called Kings that got canceled. They hit me up and they said, well, we have all these dresses. We can donate it to you. And they were like Gucci, Versace. Like, it was the worst. But what I learned is that if you have a vision, God will meet you, right? Like, that it doesn't matter if you have the resources, because he's a limitless God, right? So so from that experience, it made me realize, you know what? Okay, God, your will, your bill, right? So, like, let me just continue to move forward in faith. And this is 2009, it was 2017, and he's evolved the mission of a mentorship program, a scholarship program. And that's the story.
Come on. You heard that? If it's your will, it's your bill. Right? Keep that in mind. So each and every one of you guys, it sounds from what I'm hearing, is you guys discovered a passion that you had in your heart, and you just simply went out on faith, and you just did what you felt in your heart to do. Any of you guys had any pushback, let's say from your parents or anything, from what you were doing, or no? No. Well, you said your dad took you to the movies.
Yeah. I mean, they've always supported me. That's awesome. And I think the biggest thing for me was pretty much moving to New York. I remember graduating from college, and I didn't know what the next step was going to be. I left from North Carolina. I went to school in North Carolina, HBCU, and came back and went to Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from. And I just had no idea of what the next step was going to be, whether I was going to go to L.A. or New York. I didn't really have much money at the time. And I was really nervous. And I remember sitting down with my mother and just praying. And just praying for an answer and praying for some sort of clarity as to what the next step for me should be. And taking that leap of faith and coming to New York with barely any money. And then ended up working at Red Lobster. And it was very, very frustrating at the time. And it was a really tough time when I first moved, but she just said, just keep praying, just keep your faith, and everything is going to come to you that you desire. And eventually I was able to get an internship with this production company and just continuously work my way on up the ladder. And in like 5 years, I was like directing and producing digital content, so it's a blessing.
All right. So, because I'm pretty sure we have this talk because I'm pretty sure there are a number of people sitting here right now who are in that place where it's like, I feel like I want to take a leap, but I don't know what's going to happen. What's some advice that you would give?
Some great advice I actually learned that's applicable in many phases of life. When I was an undergrad, one of my roommates, his name was Steve, we would just talk about everything, debate about everything from music to movies, life, education. Something he told me that will always stick with me, and I thought it was quite profound, was that God doesn't look for ability, he looks for availability. And everything that you need, every tool that you need in your life, you already have it. You're equipped. You lack absolutely nothing. It's just put yourself in that space. Provide yourself the opportunity to do what it is that you want to do. And it's that simple. I know I'm making it sound super simple, but it's because it is. So if you truly believe, if you truly have that confidence, make yourself available, he'll do the rest.
Can we say an amen?
Hey.
No, but that literally is it. So kind of the same advice, something similar is like God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call, right? And if people really knew, like one of the things, so kind of back to your question about if anybody ever kind of got, you pushback for what, I would say it was myself. Like, if people knew, like, the journey is that I didn't grow up like this right here. I used to be like, oh, no, you know, but it's just when God has something more for you, he will equip that, right? Like, he will put people in your place to encourage you, right? And then on top of that, so I have Believe, because Marquell actually kept saying about Believe, but the reason why I have Believe tattooed on my wrist is so that I can always believe, right? Believe in God, believe in yourself, believe that God, he has you, right? And it just comes down to choices, right? Are you going to have faith over fear? Because fear is crippling, right? And I know I've been crippled by so much. And I think, you know, it's crazy to think of, wow, what did I forfeit because of fear? And then when you really think about it like that, it makes you kind of sad. And then so it makes you want to choose faith at all times.
That's, I totally agree with both of you, actually. And so right on the heels of that, just a little, give you a little personal journey. I actually lost my faith And I grew up in a very, very religious household. And, you know, after going to college and studying theology, actually, and kind of coming out of that, you know, I had some questions regarding my faith and, like, my Christianity. And it was an interesting journey, an interesting walk. But I had to learn to redefine what believing in God actually meant for me. And it's been an interesting journey regarding that. And as life, you know, begins to evolve and we go through certain things, sometimes you have to fall back on that thing that actually got you to where you got to in the first place. And you find redefining through growth. And that's pretty much what it was. And I found reinstallation of my faith and re-belief in God. So it's incredible.
All right, so we are, again, as a church, I mentioned earlier that we get excited about what goes on a lot of times in the four walls of our churches, and we kind of forget about the greater plan of God is that he wants entire nations, the Bible says, to be discipled, that he actually wants to see his kingdom impacting the lives of not just Christians. The Bible talks about how he lets his rain fall on the just and the unjust, so that he has a common grace that he gives to all men, right? His gifts and callings come without repentance. And I have this, I believe that people in the world I don't really believe people are so much angry at the church. You know, like a dad is not around, right? We get angry at a father who's not in the child's life. Why? Because the father has a responsibility to take care of the child. And because there's an expectation, he has a responsibility, and he has authority to do it, and he's not there, the anger is towards the absent dad. I think it's kind of like that with the church. Like, the church has an authority and a responsibility to cover the world, to pray for the world, and to ensure, to see that it reaches its full redemptive potential. And so when the church is not doing that, the world lashes up. You know, like that, like an angry son or daughter lashes out at their dad for not being there. It's like the world is lashing out at the church because the church is not doing its job in the community. It's not doing its job in the grand scheme of things. And you guys, again, are in different sectors. How do you think that a faith-based community, let's just start with fashion, all right? Marquel, how do you believe that a faith-based community can step up to the plate and actually help support people like you and others who are believers in the fashion world? And again, that's not an easy industry to be in because there's so many things that are coming at you, I can imagine, that will cause you to compromise or challenge your faith to show you why you're believing in a God, or, you know, he's hateful, he's this and that. What kind of support do you feel a church or faith-based community can give to people that's out there? Like, what have you noticed? I know you might have other friends that's also saved or believers that are in that field who might be even struggling in their faith. If you could have the support of a church like H4G, for example, what kind of support would you like to see coming from a faith-based community?
Well, I think we all tend to associate ourselves with things that align with our interests, right? And I think if there's a way for you to connect with people and the things that they're passionate about, it makes it much easier for them to connect with you as well. So I think it's as simple as providing opportunities for them to operate in their passion. So whether it is doing a church fashion show or supporting an alternate way to help design or creating spaces such as this so we can come and talk to others who may be interested in fashion. Because as I mentioned, it's a very, very difficult industry to break into. And there may have been someone who was interested but felt they didn't know the way, they didn't know the avenue. And sometimes we tend to separate our everyday life from our church life. You know, there is something my old pastor said called Sunday morning Christian, so you're only a Christian on Sunday morning. But it's something that should be throughout all the days of your life, you know, every single day of the week. So if you can find ways to engage with them throughout the week and bring them and associate with their interests, is a great way to support not only just those in the fashion industry, but creatives.
I do, actually. Yeah. So with Princess Chambers, it's not necessarily a quote-unquote Christian organization, right? It's a nonprofit, yes. But what I've done, though, is based on Christian principles, right? So what I've done is my friends and believers are the people that are the personal shoppers or the mentors, because what you will see, you may not hear his name, but you will feel his name, right? And that's why, for me, I think it's important to not only have, like, I consider Princess Chambers my ministry. You know, like, your ministry can go beyond the church walls, right? Your ministry can be what it is in the field. So that's why I remember I saw a meme that was like, there's not enough, there's more baby showers than bridal showers, right? And I was like, we're going to stop this, right? I want to end that teen pregnancy epidemic. I want girls to feel like, you know what, I am a princess. No, I do not have to have sex with this person to be a woman, you know? So that's where the sisters in Christ, that's, you know, when they see that prime example and not Nicki Minaj, or, you know, that's the woman that I want to be versus the woman they see on social media.
I think my industry is quite unique. So I think that the best way to begin to reach out to the communities is through content that speaks to people. And like Marquell said, you know, you have to speak to people to in relation to their interests and how they see the world. And I think that if we, you know, create content, because digital content is a huge thing these days and people are sucking it up like crazy. And so because of that, I think that if we create something, whether it's a short little 3-minute doc of just interactions with people out in the community, just talking to different people, you know, H4G just kind of documenting that stuff and having that content up, like on a website or a particular platform, it can expand the reach. And you're reaching out to people. It shows that you're reaching out to people and speaking the language that they speak, but also with the Word of God.
Yeah. All right. I'm at a final question. I want you guys to take turns. What's next? What do you feel like God is calling you to do next in your life?
Everyone's looking. You know, okay, so story time now. It's funny how God will just take you on a different journey than you even expected. So Portia knows this very well, where last year was a very, like, God, what's next? And so that's why it's funny that you asked this, because I feel like now I know. So God took me on this journey where I thought I wanted to be just on the side of flight attendant or do something in marketing or do all these other things, but then something found me. And I remember saying last year that I wanted to work more in the communities that I'm trying to serve and get more experience in that. So then a position found me to be a counselor to work with disengaged youth. And I was like, okay, this is different. So, but then I had another conversation with one of my mentors. He's now my mentor, I should say. But he encouraged me to go back to school. And I was like, I'm gonna go back to school, but okay, all right. So fast forward to earlier this year, I got this desire, okay, maybe I should go back to school. And so now I applied to 2 programs for a master's in social work, because I was like, that's what it is, it's social work. So I'm going back to Columbia University in the fall to get an MSW. So, and simultaneously, this counselor position, now I'm the program director as of Wednesday. So God will redirect you to, like, things that he has what's next for you. So.
Amen. Awesome.
Incredible.
For me, I actually want to open a movie studio. And one of the things that I desire to do is create more diversity and more representation in the film industry. And to do that, one of the things that I want to do is create a different type of palette, right? So science fiction films featuring people of color, something that you don't really get to see and is a rarity, and begin to break down the barrier of how people view us now as a culture, and also inspire those behind us as well. So I definitely want to create something that's kind of for live action film, something that's on the level of a Pixar studio. And yeah, for sure. And then also right now I'm in the stages of indulging into virtual reality content and augmented reality. So that's a wave of the future as well. So that's something that really excites me, because in at least 30 years, there's gonna be a considerable amount of people that are gonna be experiencing VR content. And that's going to be the new level of content intake in terms of marketing, in terms of media, and in terms of just advertising. So I'm indulging into that as well, and also trying to create paths and avenues for more diversity within those realms as well.
Okay. In the spirit of transparency, I really don't know what is next for me. I was in London a few weeks ago, and I was speaking to a friend. He was telling me, what are you most excited about in life? And I told him, you know, I don't know. But this is the good thing about that. I know it's going to be great, though. I know it's going to, I'm not worried. I had this prayer last year where I was saying, you know, God, I want you to blow my mind. I don't know what it's going to be. Just blow my mind. So going back to that point of making yourself available. You know, I didn't want to move out of New York City. I love the city so much. I didn't want to leave to go to the Middle East. But because I made myself available, because I listened, it created a wonderful opportunity for me to do something that a lot of people like me don't get a chance to do. You know, I'm from small town North Carolina. My mom didn't graduate from high school. She's never been out of the country. I've been to several countries. So it's just me making myself available. And I amen. And I think a large part of that is just to leave you with something, because I like to, you know, share information, is one thing that's very important for me and for everyone to think about is when you're around people in your life, there are two types of people that you'll encounter. First, there are drains. These are people who suck everything out of you. Anything you have, they'll take it. Doesn't matter what it is, if you need it, you want it, you don't like it, they'll take it. The second type of people are faucets. They will pour into you, continue to pour into you. They'll give you life. And then you can filter out what you want, what you don't want. So make sure you take an inventory regularly on who's a faucet and who's a drain.
Listen, we need to have y'all come just preach. All of y'all. Awesome. Well, listen, I want to know, because, again, as we end this discussion, I want our church to be positioned alongside what you guys are called to do. So, the Prince's Chambers, let us know how we can help you the next prom season. Your film studio, let us know how we can help back you in that process. Marquell, when you find out what you're doing next, let us know. I'm pretty sure we got somebody that can prophesy to you before you leave and give you some next steps right there. So that's what the church needs. This is our gifts, right? You got to stir up the gifts, prophesy, get words of knowledge and stuff like that. All right? But ultimately, let's give them a round of applause for taking time out of their schedules to be with us. I guess we can take one question, one burning question. Come. Oh, she just wants the social media contact. After service, you guys can all meet them, and any info that you have in mind, you can just ask away. All right? All right, so we're going to conclude right there.
Spread love.
Spread love. It's the Brooklyn way. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Come on, let's all stand. I want us to pray for them right now, all right? They are doing amazing work as you guys. How old are you guys, by the way?
You don't ask a woman, I'm kidding. I'm 31.
31, it's okay.
I'm 30.
Come on. This is the next generation of leaders, of influencers in society. Doing amazing things. All right? Let's hold them up. Let's keep them lifted. Amen? I'm pretty sure some of them may have said just one thing that might have inspired you to take your leap and for you to jump and to do what God has called you to do. Time is not on our side, all right? We don't have time. I'm telling you, you gotta pull the trigger and do what God has called you to do. Once you sense that fire and passion burning, do it, all right? And they're doing it, and I believe there's an impartation on them to inspire you, to impart in something in you, to go out and follow what God has called you to do. Amen. So I want them to pray for you guys, and we're going to pray for them, all right? So really quick, I just want you guys to say a word of prayer over our house, and we're ready to receive. Amen. Let's lift up our hands. Let's receive this impartation.
Thank you, Lord, that you've chosen us, Lord God, that we were handpicked by you, Lord God, that you called us to great things, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you have a burning passion in each person in this room, Lord God, that even when they were told, Lord, that they couldn't do it, Lord God, you knew Father God, the greatness that will come from them, Lord. So God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just take your people, Lord God, and you will remind them that they are yours, God, and that you have called them to great things. So Lord, I pray, Father, that you are going to renew their spirits, Lord God, renew their minds, Lord God, and birth new visions, Lord God, in them, Father God. I pray, Father God, that even before the end of this year, Lord God, that they would just know that the purpose that they have, Lord God, the calling that you call them to, Lord God, that you, Lord, would just provide them all the resources that they need, Lord God, that they will not look at what they have, Lord God, or the things that they lack, Lord God, but they will be reminded, Lord God, that they are yours, Lord, and that you made them perfectly, Lord God, and fearfully and wonderfully made. So God, I pray right now, Lord God, that these are going to be community builders, Lord God, world changers, Lord God, dreamers and doers, Lord God, movers and shakers, Lord. So God, I thank you, Lord, for the calling that you have on them, God, and I pray, Lord, that you will take them from the just not only from where they're at, but from glory to glory, Lord God, and from faith to faith. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for bringing us all here today. Thank you for us, allowing us to just share this beautiful moment together and just be together and share your love and express your love and how deep it resonates with us, God. Allow us to go out into the world and share your word. Allow us to spread love, the love that you've instilled within us innately. And God, just let us be benevolent with everyone that we come in touch with and allow us to show your light, God. Thank you.
Amen. God, we just want to first start by saying thank you, Father. We are here because you've decided that we deserve to be your fathers. This day is ours. We're a part of it. We're able to embrace it and engage with it because you've decided, Father. And let us all be grateful, Lord. Let us remember, Father, that where we are right now in our life, it's a comma and not a period because there's more to our story. It's not permanent. It's only temporary, God. And let us remember that as we head to the final destination, to remember that the journey is just as beautiful. The process is just as beautiful. The struggle has a purpose and nothing is in vain, Lord. And as we continue to be surrounded by people, let us remember, Father, to keep those who are faucets and not drains. Amen.
Amen. Stretch forth your hands, guys. Holy Spirit, we lift up each and every one of our guests today, Marquell, Davis, and Jennifer. We thank you for choosing them and electing them and calling them to be light in the darkness. And Father God, we speak increase now. We speak favor now. We speak, oh God, another level of visibility in their life, Father. We thank you now, God, that promotion is going to come at the right time. I thank you now, Lord God, that your hand is now on them, resting on them. Father God, I pray now, Lord God, they will have no lack. That, Lord, today was a divine encounter, not just, oh God, for us, but for them. That, Lord God, there's going to be another level of anointing, another level of glory on their lives to do what they've been called to do in each of the sectors that they're called to do. I pray, God, that favor will continue to pour into them like they've never seen favor before. I pray, God, that they're going to have favor from the most unusual people. And even in the most unusual places, oh God, let this be an uncommon, unusual anointing, God, that there will be a sign and a wonder wherever they go from this day forward. I thank you, God, that everything they set their hands to do shall be blessed, that they shall be, that they should be more prosperous, Father God, the mentorship, the counseling that's in Jennifer's life, Father God. We thank you now that, God, she's going to bring deliverance and healing and wholeness to so many people that, Father God, is going to be, her name is going to go down in history for one of the most impactful women in this side of heaven. I pray for Davis now that film studio will be even bigger than Tyler Perry's studio and Oprah, Father God. I thank you, God, now that you are opening up favor for him in Hollywood, that there's favor, and oh God, and all across the country and all around the world in virtual reality and digital content. Father God, I thank you now that Marquell will go to even more nations and he's going to leave an even greater legacy. That Father God, wherever he goes, Lord God, that every word he speaks, let it be potent and rich with an anointing that is not of this world. And Father, as they begin to realize more and more how much you love them and how much you've called them and chosen them and equipped them for such a time as this, may they never cease to give you praise and glory for all the great things that are about to come and the blessings that are on the way. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen, amen. Come on, let's shout out. Big God, just give our big God a big praise. Hallelujah.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.